Dear readers, the first thing I want to say is that I do hope you exist. The statistics for the number of people who actually buy a book of poetry are fairly depressing, and buying isn't reading. You will have done some poetry at school, I'm sure, though many of the English teachers I know are terrified of it. They'd rather do anything else. Then, even if you're confident to tackle a single poem, you might be less sure when it comes to an entire volume of them, even a slim one. Of course, it could be a narrative, a story in verse with a clear beginning, middle and end. I've done some of those. But more likely, it will be the usual chocolate box selection. So, how to approach that collection of mine you found in a charity shop? And who got rid of it, I wonder? Is there a name in it? I suggest you begin with the soft centres, poems about family or travel, Egypt, Iceland. Try one of the liqueurs, that Elgar piece or the Cézanne. Some of the tree poems, walnut whips. Then the hard centres, war, mythology, ageing. If you're really not used to reading poetry, then think of yourself as a baby dropped in a swimming pool. You won't drown, you'll instinctively know what to do, and fairly quickly, once you get over the shock of the medium, may even find you're enjoying the experience. What you may not think to do is read aloud. Yet that's the key. Listening to someone else read a poem isn't always helpful, even if it's the author, and especially if it's an actor. But reading it to yourself, catching the music, the play of sound against sound, is fundamental. It was Hugo Williams who made the point that reading lines on the page, you're aware of different parts of the poem simultaneously. You can see the opening even as you read the ending. That isn't the case when you're just a listener, so you're likely to miss that crucial interplay of sound and meaning. As to why you should do any of this when you're perfectly happy with novels, well, I too enjoy novels, but, and this is going to sound perverse, in the end they're a form of escapism. They leave you in the dream without analysing it. Even the most ingenious prose can't do what real poetry does, which is keep you pleasurably conscious of the language in which it's written, your language, and make you hear its overtones and etymologies, its echoes and allusions. Above all, the silences implied by its line breaks, the gaps and cliffs of fall opened up between words, the looming blank white space which prose can only ignore in its relentless urge to entertain. After all of which, dear readers, I trust that you remain my readers, and that the time you spend with my poetry is time in some way illuminated. With very warmest wishes, John Greening.